Today we're doing Bava Kamma Nun Daled. We're going to start at the bottom, five lines from the bottom at the two dots on Nun Gimel Amud Bet. We'll do our Refuah Shlema for the week. Refuah Shlema Le David Avram Ben Miriam Devarah Batina Orla Pnina Bat Recha Frida Chaya Malk Esther Bat Zipporah Yael Miriam Bat Chaya Yaakov Ben Rosa David Ben Golda Daphne Chaya Bat Sara Talia Recha Bat Tamar Sara Ilana Mira Batina Reza Bat Pesha and Livoy Nishmat Chana bat Avram va'atara Reza bat Sara Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov Halevi Umela Yaakov Yosef ben Tzvi Akoin Oz Avram Shimon ben Eliezer Yitzhak Halevi v'chana. Okay, we're in the middle of the topic of Bor. Somebody falls into a pit. We're going to go back and review a bunch of things that we've learned in the past today because these sugyot have appeared earlier. And with that, we're going to learn some new details that we might not have learned all of last time. Okay, nafala techo shor v'kela v'nishtabru. So if into this pit falls a shor, now if you remember, let's just look at the psukim at the top of the page I brought. From Shmuel Perakaf Aleph, the psukim about shor go like this. V'chi yivtach ishbor, v'chi yichre ishbor, which we darshaned a whole bunch of times already. Below Yechasenu, when he doesn't cover it, so he either opens a bore or he digs it and he doesn't cover it. Benafal shama shor o chamor. So we've learned a bunch of times already. Shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim. That it means you're only chayav on animals and not on people who fall into a bore because the assumption is people's responsibility is to be watching where they're going, and you're not responsible for. It's chamor velo kelim, only for the chamor itself and not the kelim that go in with it. And that's exactly what this quote is from the Mishnah. If the shor and the kelim come in, and the kelim, they'll say he's carrying something on him, and he falls in and the kelim break, you're not responsible. U'bal abor yishalem. Okay, so in this case, the owner of the boar has to pay, right? We haven't seen that yet. So far, it was just, if you do this and they fall in. So, the bala boar yishalem, kesef yashiv lebala v'hamet yielo. Okay, the hamet yielo also we darshan a few times. We're going to see it again today, how we darshan it. The assumption here is, v'hamet yielo, that the animal actually dies. And from that, okay, we learn all sorts of things we're going to get to, since the topic of these psukim is death. Therefore, so one of the things we saw in Bava Kamma Kaf Chet when we talked about Shor Velo Adam Chamor Velo Kelim is that if an Adam dies, you're patur, but if an Adam is damaged from a boar, he falls into your boar and is damaged, you actually do have to pay damages. So keep that in mind. That's an important distinction to remember. So even though we say you're not chayav for Adam and a boar, you are chayav for damages. The assumption is that a person's walking on the street, he's notices enough to pay attention if there's a really deep bore that he's going to get killed from, and therefore if he gets killed, then you're going to be then he's responsible for himself. Okay, this is always what we keep talking about, the balance of responsibility. Who's more responsible than the other? So if a person's walking on the street, falls into a deep, deep bore, that's not your fault. He should have been paying attention. But if he falls into a small thing, trips over something, gets injured, then you're going to be responsible. I think about one day I was walking with my sister-in-law on the street and she was carrying a glass bowl of salad. And, you know, here the streets, sometimes they're a little bumpy. So there was a bump, you know, they didn't put the little bricks that are on the ground. They didn't put them in. Well, she tripped over it and, you know, smashed on the floor the whole thing. And so that would be a good case of, you know, you're not supposed to pay attention to a little something. That's not something we're expecting you to have noticed. So therefore, when it comes to Adam, you're not responsible if he gets killed, but you are responsible if he gets damaged. Now we're going to start to see distinctions throughout today. So we're going to get to the kelim that you're not responsible for. And then also we have the issue of the animal, which we started last time, which was strange, that you're all of a sudden we started to learn from the Mishnah that you're only responsible if the shor was a cheresh, was deaf, if the shor was a shoteh, he didn't have, you know, he was a little insane, if he was walking in the dark, okay, or if he was a katan, which was strange. We saw, we're going to get into that today. And then we're going to talk about, is this only for damages, or is it only for death, or is it also for damages that you're not responsible for regular shor? So we'll get into all this today. Nafala tacho shor v'kelav v'nishtabru v'chulei. So it said there that you're only chayav for the shor, but not for the kelim. Matznitin deloke Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember, we had learned this unique opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda had said that what? that you are chayav for kelim. Even though I quoted right now, I said you're not chayav for kelim, there is one opinion that says you are, detanya, and here we're going to see it inside in the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda machayev al nizke kelim bebor. My time, to Rabbanan. So now, where does Rabbanan get it from? Damar krav, and afal sham ashur chamor. Again, like I said earlier today, shur velo adam, chamor velo kelim. That's the simple drasha. For Rabbi Yehuda, who obviously doesn't think the kelim are excluded, what does he say? Oh, lirabot et hakelim. It says shur o chamor. It could have just said shur v'chamor. So why it say shur o chamor? To include something extra. What was it in including the kelim? So v'rabanan, oh mivayle l'chalek. Rabbanan say no. Why did you need o? If you had said shur v'chamor, what would you have thought? That only if a shur and a chamor fall in are you responsible. L'chalek is to separate, right? To distinguish, you needed to say, according to the pshat, shor o chamor, to say either a shor or a chamor. So you need it for the pshat, you can't darshan it. Rabbi Yehuda, so how does he know l'chalek, that you're only chayiv if one of them falls in? And it, now, obviously, it's a silly havamina, that you'd only be chayiv if two animals fall in. But anyway, they're trying to say, why did you need the o? So what does he say? Rabbi Yehuda, l'chalek, mi v'nafal. It says v'nafal shama shor chamor. Notice nafal is singular. It doesn't say v'naflu shama shor chamor. So from the singular, he learns it, and you don't need it from the O, and therefore the O can include kelim. V'rabbanan v'nafal tuva mashma. Rabbanan think that v'nafal includes both of them. You could say v'nafal when you're really referring to both. Okay? So for example, Rashi quotes, okay, here's going to be, because what do you mean? Grammatically, you would never say that. V'nafal, two things, right? You'd say v'naflu. So he says, the Torah sometimes does, kimo va'asa b'tzalel v'ohaliyav. Okay, it says they did it, right? But it only says asa is singular. So he brings another example where that happens. So now they suggest, though, Ema, why don't we say like this? V'nafal, okay, now if you remember, we've discussed this many times. There's something called a klal upratu klal. These are the one of the yugamo midot. Okay? Klal upratu klal, we're going to see this a few times today. Okay, which is when this Torah starts with a generalization, then it goes to details, and then it goes back to a generalization. So what do we learn from here? When you have a klal uprat, when you have just a klal uprat, what do you say? It's only the prat. Okay, when it starts general and then it gets specific, it's only the specific thing. But if you do a klal upratu klal, then what do we say? That the prat is a heading for a broader category. We're going to learn what's similar to this prat, and therefore we're going to say whatever's similar to this, we're going to include also that. So now, how does it go? So why don't we suggest that v'nafal is klal, because it seems to be, right, anything falls. Then it says shor v'chamor, which is specific. And then, so if we have klal uprat, right, what are we going to say then? Klal uprat ein bechlal elamasha b'prat. So then we would say we only have shor v'chamor, so we should only learn shor v'chamor according to the pshat. So then they say, shor, right, so therefore, shor v'chamor in, so therefore it should include only shor v'chamor, midiach rine lo. So why don't we just say that? So now they say, no, because there's a klal at the end of that. Amre, what's the next pasuk? Bal habor yishalem, chazar v'kalal. So because it's a klal upratu klal in the end, because bal habor yishalem sounds like the bal habor is always responsible for whatever might happen. So klal upratu klal, yatadan ela ke'en aprat. That's our yugimu midah, that's our midah, that's how we darshan it. What do we say? When you have a klal upratu klal, then we're going to do anything that's like the prat. Ma haprat mefarash ba'alei chayim, af kol ba'alei chayim. So why don't we say then, that therefore, what's a shor v'chamor, what typifies them? They're animals. So therefore, let's include all animals. So now they say, but I ma haprat mifurash davar shenivlato mitam'a b'maga umasa, af kol davar shenivlata mitam'a b'maga umasa, avalofot lo. If we're going to learn a klal upratu klal, and we're going to say it's whatever's like the shor v'chamor. So first they suggest, what's like a shor v'chamor? All animals, which includes birds, anything like that, a bal chayim. Now they're going to say, wait a minute, but birds are different from animals, and why don't we say it's what typifies a shor v'chamor, and what typifies them? So when it comes to tuma, what happens with a shor v'chamor? If they die, and they're metameh, so right, an avela of an animal is metameh, how is it metameh? Mago masa, what does that mean? If you touch it, or if you carry it, let's say you're not actually physically touching it, it's on a tray, and you carry the tray that has it on it. So you are metameh, you become tameh. or whatever is carrying it becomes tummy. But a bird, okay, it's called Nevelat Of Tahor. We've seen this before, if you remember. So once I say it, I think you'll remember. It has a unique category. It's not Metame Mago Masa. It's Metame Bebeit Habliya. What does that mean? If it's in your mouth at the time, let's say you eat it, even though you're not allowed to. If it's in your mouth, then while it's in your mouth, anything you touch becomes tummy. It's this very strange category of tumah. So why don't we say that makes shor v'chamor different from ofot, and therefore we should exclude ofot from this. And therefore, if an oaf falls into some sort of anything from the bird family, falls into this boar, you're not going to be chayav. So now they're suggesting that. So what are they going to say? Im kein nichtav rachmana chad prata. If that's the case, it should have just written shor or chamor. Why did it need to say shor and chamor? So therefore, we're going to say, since it could have written just one of them, and it wrote both of them, that comes to be more inclusive than exclusive, but we're going to include the oaf. So now they want to say, well, what makes you think we could have just written one? Because if we would have just written one, we would have come to other mistaken conclusions. Hey, nichtov, which one were you suggesting they could have written? I katav shor. Now we're going to say that there's something unique about shor and something unique about chamor. Now I'm going to already preface this by saying, the two sides here are a little imbalanced, because one thing we're going to mention is only true for sure, and the other one we're going to mention is actually true for chamor and for sure. However, it's something that appears in the pasuk about a chamor, and therefore we would say it's sort of unique for chamor. But it's not going to be 100% balanced. I'll show you in a minute. So what does it say here? I katav shor, if you would have just had shor, hava amina karev legabe mizbeach in, sheino karev legabe mizbeach lo. What makes a shor unique that's different from a chamor and many other animals? That a shor can be brought as a sacrifice, whereas a chamor cannot be brought as a sacrifice. So if you had just said shor and you hadn't written chamor, then we would have thought only animals that can be brought as a sacrifice you chayav for. Therefore, it needed chamor also. But what about the flip? So now they're going to say, v'ikat of rachmana chamor, if you just had chamor, hava amina, kadosh bebechora in, she'en kadosh bebechora lo. What do we know about peter chamor tifteh, right? You have to redeem the firstborn of a chamor. Now it happens to be true that you also have to redeem the firstborn of a shor. But they're saying, if you had just written chamor, what is it? It rings a bell, right? You hear chamor, you think of peter rechem. So you might have thought that just peter rechem, just an animal that you're chayav to bring the bechor, not other animals that you don't have a chiyuv bechor. You have a chiyuv bechor of certain animals, not others. So you might have thought just that category. So therefore, okay, so therefore, she'en kadosh b'chora lo, and therefore you needed both shor v'chamor, and therefore the fact that shor and chamor are both there doesn't teach you anything about birds. It only is able to teach you all animals, and therefore we have to go all the way back to where we started. Therefore, if you use this klal u'pratu klal, you would exclude, in theory, you could think that we would exclude birds, and therefore this can't be the way we learned it out. So they reject the entire logic. Okay, so everything we just built out the window. So now they're going to suggest something else. Ela amar kra v'hamet yihiyelo. Okay, which we've darshaned already before, but now we're going to darshan something else from it. V'hamet yihiyelo kol davar mita, anything that can die. So therefore, we're going to say if an animal, a bird, anything can die, you're going to be chayav. Now we're going to see. Wait a minute. Bain le Rabbanan de Kamemayate Luhula Kalim, Ubain le Rabbi Yehuda de Kamerabi Luhula Kalim, Kalim bene Mita Ninu? Now, let's go with the easier one to explain. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who includes from this pasuk Kalim and thinks you're responsible for Kalim, well, Kalim don't die. And according to Chachamim, who said that you need a special drasha of Hamor velo Kalim to exclude Kalim, why would he even think the kelim are included, that you need a special drasha to exclude them if it's mita? So what do they answer? We've actually seen this before. Amre shviratan zohi mitatan. When a kli breaks, that's its death. It's as if it died. So hamet yelo means, right? In other words, it's totally dead also, and that's why you could think to include kelim. Ule ravda amar bor shchiva alav torah lahavlo velo lachavto. Now we're going to ask another question. According to Rav, if you remember, we had this big machloket. Is it the hevel, the air of the contaminated air in the boar that does the killing, or Shmuel, who said it was the chavata, the impact, and the airspace. So l'ravda amar bor shechiva alav haTorah lehavlo v'lo lechavto. It's not the impact, it's the air. Bein l'rabbanan, bein l'rabbi Yehuda, kelim b'nei havlaninu. Does the air contaminate the kelim, right? So if he says the whole concept of bor is the hevel, well then kelim obviously aren't included. And either Rabbi Yehuda, you're wrong that you include them, or Rabbanan, you don't need a drasha to exclude them. So amre b'chadete. When it comes to kelim, new kelim, dimipake mehavla. Okay, they've often in the halacha they distinguish between these new kelim that were just burned in the furnace and other kelim that are older and more used. So they say that new kelim can actually explode from contaminated air, that it's a possibility, and that's where you would have a case of kelim that you would need to exclude and say you're not responsible for them. Okay, that's a bit out there. Okay, so now what's the problem with darshaning? So now again, where do we learn that it includes birds? From Bahameti yellow, anything that dies. So now we're going to have a problem because, as I said earlier, we use this pasuk for other things. And if you use it for the world of drashot, if you use a drasha for something, you can't use it for something else. So now they're going to question that. Bahameti yellow, mibaile lechadarava. We need it for what Rava said to Amarava. Shur psulei hamukdashim shenafal lebor pator shenemar v'hamet yelo b'mish hamet shelo yatzaze she'en hamet shelo. Rava says if you have a shur that was okay. First of all, for sure, if you have a shur that's hekdesh, that's designated for the Beit Hamikdash. But even if you have a shur that was designated for the Beit Hamikdash, but a mum got into it, and it's one of those things that you redeem it, but you can't actually use the animal. Even if you redeem it, it has to get. It has to die, basically. You can't do anything with it. It's forbidden b'hana'a. So a case like that, if a shor like that falls into a boar, you're patur. Why? Because it says b'hameti yellow. Now, who's the... We've darshan this a few different ways. Is the hameti yellow to the guy who owns the boar, or is it the person who owns the animal? So anyway, b'hameti yellow, they're saying this one, the mate, is not his. Can't belong to him. Okay, because it's hekdesh. Okay, it's asur b'hana'a. So therefore, if a shur psulei hamukdashim falls into a boar, you don't have to pay back the owner because the shur is not worth anything to him. So therefore, how could you learn that it includes birds? So therefore, ela amar kra, we're going to have a separate drasha. Now we're going to get to a part that we really haven't darshaned yet. Okay, if you notice in Pasuk Lamed Daled, there's some part of this Pasuk that we really ignored until now. So look back, the first section of the Pasukim on your daf. Baal habor yishalem, kesef yashiv leba'alav, v'hameti yelo. What do you mean, kesef? This is totally unnecessary. He'll bring money back to its owner? Who else is he paying? When it says he pays, he obviously brings it back to the owner. So this is obviously meant to darshan something, right? Bameti yelo. So elam rakrak kesef yashiv lebalav lirabot kol di'it lebalim. Therefore, it includes anyone who has an owner, and that would obviously include birds who are owned by someone, anything from the bird family. So ihachi, wait a minute. If it includes anything that has owners, afilu kelim ba'adam nami. Then kelim and adam, you'd also be chayav. Now, what do we mean adam has owners? What are we obviously talking about? Slaves. If you remember, slaves often are compared to animals, but dafka for this issue, we said, if a slave falls into a pit, you're not responsible for their death. So you could say, afilu kelim ba'adam nami. So amar kra, that's why, right? So if you just had kesef yashiv lebalav, you would think to include anything, all animals, people who are owned by other people, and kelim. Okay, but that's why you have the pasuk shor velo adam chamor velo kelim to exclude that. Ula Rabbi Yehuda to come a Rabbi lehula kelim. So what about Rabbi Yehuda who includes kelim? Bishlama shor memay be adam ela chamor may memay be. Now we're going to go back to okay. So now we basically have our drasha kesef yeshiv lebalav comes to include the birds. Now what about Rabbi Yehuda when we say shor velo adam chamor velo kelim? What does he do? He says shor velo adam, but he doesn't say chamor velo kelim. So what does he do with the word chamor? Ela amarava chamor debor le Rabbi Yehuda v'sed aveda ledivrei hakol kasha. So Rava comes and makes this statement, which is it's like one of those statements that makes you say it's okay to have questions that don't have answers to them. Okay, this is what he says. a chamor of in the boar pasuk, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't know what to do with it. In other words, we're stuck. It's an extra word, and we don't know how to do anything with it. And the se of an aveda, okay, you can look in on your sheet. Where is it? Here, in Dvarim Perek Kafbe Pasuk Gimel, it says, the fourth section on your page, V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simlato, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedat achicha asher tova mimenu. Oh, no, sorry, it's not that pasuk. No, it's a different one. It's, let's see if Rashi quotes it. L'chol avedat achicha. Yeah, it's right. It's oh no, it is this. Right, there's a se.
It's a se in Shmot
Kaf.
Kaf was the preceding one.
Ah, right, that's it. No, but that's also that's not Aveda. That's Gneva. But it's yeah, I forget where the pasuk is. But there's a pasuk there where they darshan it. We'll get to it in Baba Metzia and Elu Metzia, where they darshan every item. It's a whole bunch of items that could possibly get lost. And it darshins all of them except for the se. It doesn't know what to do with the se. Okay? So Rava comes and makes a statement. We don't know what to do with the chamor of Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't know what to do with the se of everybody. You know, according to all opinions, there's a problem with that se. Okay. End of, right? So it's okay to sometimes end with questions. Now we're going to get back to this, how I started. I talked about this Shor Cheresh Shotev Katan, which was very strange. Right? Now, until now, before we saw the Mishnah on Nun Bet, we said, you're patur for Adam, you're chayav for shor, and we assumed it meant any shor that falls in. And the reason is, an Adam will make sure not to fall into a very deep pit, and it's his responsibility if he does, but a shor doesn't really have that sense, and therefore you're chayav for a shor. Now we're going to learn that it's not every shor. So first the Gemara assumes, when it talks about cheresh shor teva katan, we're generally talking about a person, not an animal. So my shor cheresh shor teva katan, ilema shor shel cheresh, shor shel shoteh, shor shel katan. Right. So if you want to say it means the shor owned by a deaf person, the shor owned by a person without mental capabilities, or shor owned by a katan, Hashur shall pikeach patur. You're going to say that a shur owned by a pikeach is patur. Now, you could actually make a logical argument. You could, in theory, say that the responsibility is on the owner. So if the owner is a person who doesn't have da'at, all those categories, chereish shotev katan, so then we're not going to make the owner responsible to watch the shur in case the shur falls in, whereas the shur of a pikeach, while the pikeach, the person who's knowledgeable, has da'at, he should make sure a shur doesn't fall into a boar. But nobody really thinks that's the case. The point is the shur noticing? You're not supposed to watch your shur every second of the day, make sure he doesn't fall into pits. You have to make sure he doesn't damage people, but it's not so logical to say that. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shur shuhu cheresh, shur shuhu shoteh, shur shuhu katan. Okay? And then, ha shur shuhu pikeach patur. Now, according to this, you're going to say, could you really say then? Okay, now they're going to say, how could you possibly say this, though? You're going to say, so Rabbi Yochanan says, it's a shor that's cheresh. Okay, now how you know a shor is cheresh is not so simple to figure out. I mean, I guess you can nowadays, for sure, but in those days. A shor shu shoteh, okay, again, you could say the shor is a little crazy. A shor shu katan, they say, is a shor, the Meiri says this, that isn't yet used for plowing. The assumption is if he's not yet used for plowing, then he's not regulated to work. This goes back to the shor who gores only on Shabbat. When he doesn't work, the assumption is he's a little wild, and therefore he's more likely to fall into the boar, and that's what you should be watching out for. And that's why you're responsible. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, okay? So he's a shor of cheresh, a shor of shoteh, a shor of katan. Then the Gemara says, ha shor shu pikeach patur? But does it really make sense to say right exactly what we said? You're coming and messing up everything we thought until now. We thought you're chayav for a shor, a regular shor, right? It's a shor chamor. The pasuk didn't seem to say it was a unique category of a shor chamor. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyas, Rabbi Yirmiyas says, clearly that's not what it means, the pshat of the Mishnah. So how does he read the Mishnah? Lo mebaya kamar. If you remember what a lo mebaya structure means, it means not only this, but even that, okay? So it works like this. Lo mebaya shor shu pikeach techayav. You don't even need to say it's so obvious that a regular shor is chayav. Aval shorche resh shotev katan ema chershuto garmalo katznuto garmalo vili pater. Maybe you would say the opposite. That a shor shu pikach, it's so obvious, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't need to say it. Obviously, you're chayav for a classic case of a shor. But in a case where the shor has something that's going to make him not able to pay attention and all that, well, maybe you could say, so on the one hand, you'd say you're more responsible. Now we're going to say, no, you're less responsible. Because there was some external factor that caused the shor to fall into your boar, not the fact that you put a boar there. The fact that the shor was deaf, okay, now again, deaf, it's not the deafness itself. It's the fact that he's not a bar dot. That's what caused him to fall into the boar. We're going to reject this, don't worry. But this is the logic right now. We're thinking that maybe it's something else that caused him, and therefore you could say it's not my responsibility. It's the shor, and maybe you could say that really, if the owner of that shor should watch, right, just like kids have to be watched more carefully, so he should watch his young shor much more carefully because they're much more wild, and he should be taking care of them more, and therefore, again, the burden, right, where does the seesaw go? It weighs more on the side of the owner of the shor. And then, obviously, a shor shu gadol is going to be chayav, okay, but that didn't even need to be mentioned. So now we're going to say, even though you might have thought the balance tips there, no. You're still responsible for any kind of shor that falls in, regardless of why. Okay, so kamashmala. That's what the Mishnah needs to teach you. So, amarle Rav Acha le Ravina. Okay, now Rav Acha says to Ravina, this is all great that they came up with all these theories, but, okay, in other words, what all these people tried to do is say that the shor of chere, or it's really Rabbi Yirmiyah, that a shor shupikeach is really chayav, even though it doesn't say so in the Mishnah. Okay, that if you have a shor pikeach that falls in, it can be chayav. But it doesn't make sense because, v'hatanya, we have another braita that says, nafala techo bar da'at patur. So we have a braita that says if a bar da'at falls into the pit, then you're patur. So my love, shor bar da'at. So doesn't this mean, when it says bar da'at, what do you think they're talking about? It obviously means a shor that's a bar da'at. And then what does it say? You're patur. So what do you see here? If a shor bar da'at falls in, meaning a shor pikeach, you're going to be patur. We just said you're going to be chayav. So amar le, lo, adam, no, you misunderstood the braita. When it says a bar da'at falls into the pit, it's talking about a person. So wait a minute. If it's talking about a person, and it means if a bar da'at falls into a pit, he's patur, which means adam is patur, right? But what does it mean? Only an adam who's bar da'at. What do you assume then? What if a katam falls in? Now, if you remember, our Mishnah said specifically, a ben or a bat, you're still patur, okay? And this braita, if you said the topic of the braita is adam, then it's going to exclude tanim, and you're actually going to be chayav if a katam falls in, and that we know is not the halacha. So, elameata, adam ben da'at hu de patur, hala ben da'at hu de chayav, then you'd be chayav if he's not a bar da'at, but shor velo adam k'tiv, and we excluded all adam. So what do they answer? No, elamai ben da'at, mean ben da'at. When it says ben da'at, it's talking about the category of humans. It doesn't mean a human who is a bar da'at, it means all humans, and then that fits in very well. Okay, that's a good answer. However, we're now going to have another braita that totally contradicts all this, and we're going to erase what we said again. A lot of that going on today. Amar le v'hatanya, but wait, it says in a braita, nafala tocho shor ben da'at patur. Here the braita explicitly says we're talking about a shor ben da'at. If a shor pikeach falls into the pit, you're patur. So therefore, can't be what you said until now that it's what Rabbi Yirmiyah said, it's a lo mibai, and it's also a shor pikeach, you're going to be chayav. It didn't even need to say it. Now we're going to say, el amarava, shor vu cheresh, shor vu shote, shor vu katan, dafka. It's specifically those. Aval, shor vu pikeach patur, my taima, why is a shor shu pikeach patur? Debaile iune umezal, because you should have been paying attention and looking. Okay, and Tanya Namihachi, and here's a braita that we actually saw a few dapim ago. Nafala tocho shor cheresh shoteh v'katan, v'suma, they even had the blind, umahalech balayla, or a regular shor that's walking at nighttime, chayav. But pikeach umahalech bayom patur. So now we find out that you're really only chayav for a shor who goes at night, okay? But if a shor goes during the day, and he's a pikeach, you're patur, because it's the shor's responsibility to be paying attention to where he's going. Now, by the way, I just want to point out, as I mentioned a bunch of other times, just because there's a braita that says this, the Gemara is therefore convinced that this must be the reading. But it doesn't mean, just because one Braita says it, it could have been that in the time of the Tanaim, there were also different opinions about this. Okay? However, the Gemara takes the approach that since there's a Braita, you must be wrong, and rejects Rabbi Yirmiyah's understanding. So according to this, now it's going to be the big machlok at Rambam and Ravid. It's machlok at Rambam and Ravid about this, about whether this whole p'tur of a shor falling into your bor and you're not chayav, is it only for death? Because just like with Adam, we said, well, the topic of the pasuk is death, and therefore it's only if they die, but if they get damaged, then we would say you are responsible. Or when it comes to a shor, you're never responsible. And they say that there's a difference between a shor and a person in terms of what do we say? First of all, this ibayle liyune umezal we saw with Haminecha Takad, that if you break someone's kli and you fall over it, in other words, person is responsible to pay attention to where he's going on the street. So now they say when it comes to a boar is down in the ground. So when a person's walking, like imagine the case I gave him, my sister-in-law falling, tripping on the street. You don't always look down when you're walking. You generally look straight ahead. So yes, like your consciousness is you are somewhat aware if there's some huge pit and ditch and, you know, something. But if you're just walking regular, you don't pay attention to a small pit or a small bump in the road or something like that. But a shor, when he walks, he always looks down. And therefore, a shor might be more responsible for paying attention to any sort of boar than a person. And that would be the logic to say that a shor pikach, you're not responsible even for damages. Or you could argue it, no. The pasuk is about death. We're only talking about death. When it comes to damages, also the owner of the boar is responsible. So there's a big machloket about where that falls. Okay, now we're moving on to, if you notice, we were darshaning the shor and chamor in the pasuk. We're now going to bring, as you can already see from the sheet I gave with all the psukim, we're going to go into all sorts of other psukim that mention animals by name. And the question is, what do we mean when we say specifically this animal? Is it specifically that animal? Is it all animals? How do we view it? Are you freezing? No, everyone's okay. Temperature. Okay. So, new Mishnah. Echad shor ve'echad kol behema. Okay. Whether a shor or whether all animals. Okay. In terms of all of these situations, we're going to basically say that when it talks about a specific animal, it means every animal. L'nefilat habor, okay, so one is our case. Falling into a boar, it's going to be all animals, right, which is going to include also birds. Ula hafrashat har Sinai, okay, this is an interesting one because it's talking about something that happened, not, generally when we want to know halachot, we talk about things that we need to keep. This is a halacha that was a one-time hora'at sha'ah, when they went on har Sinai, if you remember, it says, we can look at the psukim inside, Shmo Perek Yutet, Lo tigabo yad ki sako yisakel o yaro yare im behema im ish lo yechye bimshoch yavel hema yalu bahar. Everybody had to keep away from the mountain. Remember, keep their distance. So what does it say here? Im behema. So behema, they say, doesn't mean just behema. It means chaya and of. Right? We always have those categories. The behema, the chaya, and the of. So now they're talking about an event that happened. It included all animal, all living things. When it comes to paying back for a robber, has to pay double. Also, the psukim say, okay, if you look in Perek Kafbet, Pasuk Chet, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, Al Shur, Al Chamor, Al Seh, Al Sama, Al Kol Aveda. Okay, so here it says, right, Shur, Chamor, Seh, and Salma, which is like a cloak or a dress. Right, I'm not sure if it actually means a dress. No, it's not a simla, a salma. I forget the exact translation of it. It talks about you have to pay kefel, shalem shnayim lire'eyu at the end of that pasuk. So there also it's going to include all animals. Lahashavat avida, that's pasuk, it's very imperative, kafbe pasuk yomo. V'chein taseh l'chamoro, v'chein taseh l'simlato, v'chein taseh l'chol avidat achicha. Okay, ulipriqa. That's when you kitir ech chamor son echa rovets tachamaseo. You see a chamor, you know, having a very heavy burden. You're supposed to help him. Lechasima. This is lo tachsom shor b'disho. When you're using your shor for the threshing, so you can't muzzle him, so that he can't eat. Lekilaim. Okay, this is et chukotai tishmor b'em tachal lo tarbia kilaim. Okay, and there's two kinds of kilaim. One is you can't crossbreed your animals. And the next is very imperative. If you do the harisha, the plowing, and you're using the animals to pull the weaponry, the machinery, you can't have two different animals do it together. Okay, that's part of kilaim. Ulishabbat. Okay, what's this? Your animal can't work on Shabbat, right? Okay, we're going to see later. It comes up both in the first Dibrot and in the second. In the second Dibrot, it says, Vishorcha v'chamorcha v'chol behemtecha. Okay, so it doesn't just say behema, it also says shor v'chamor. So again, it's going to include everyone. V'chein chaya v'of kayotze behen. Okay, so in all these cases, the chaya and the of are going to be just like them. Im kein, lama nemar shor chamor. Right, so why are shor and chamor used in all these examples, specifically them? Ela shediber katuv behofe. The pasuk used the typical animal that was going to be doing these things. Okay, so when it comes to prika, right, it's really the chamor generally carries the stuff. And it just brought, you know, your basic cases, okay, in the time of the Torah. And therefore, but it doesn't mean just those. Okay, so all these cases. Now we're going to have drashot, where we learn each one, that it includes everything. We're going to get back to this kalu pratu klal, and etc. So lenefila tabor, kesef yashiv lebaalav ktiv, kodi lebaalim, kida amaran. Okay, so that we already learned. We drashen it from kesef yashiv lebaalav, anyone that has an owner, like we said. Lafrashat har sinai, im behema im ish lo yich, lo yichya. Bechaya bechla behema havya. Okay, so now they're going to say, So, chaya, they say generally, when we say behema, we mean behema and chaya. If we don't know to distinguish, we generally say that behema includes chaya. And im, lirabot et haofot. It says im behema, so the im includes something additional, and that's going to include the ofot. L'tashlume kefel, kedamrinan, al kol devar pesha klal. Okay, now we're going to have a klal here. Okay, al kol devar pesha, it says in the pasuk. Right, that's in pasuk chet. Look again in the third section here. Shabbat parak kafet. Pasuk chet. Al kol devar pesha, that's a klal. Kol devar pshia. Oh, sorry. It's just a klal here. They're saying al kol devar pesha, it's basically a klal. It's kolel, any kind of pshia. And therefore, it's going to include, right, obviously, the thought that a ganav would not be chayav on if he stole something that wasn't a behema doesn't make any sense. And they're saying, not only that, but the pasuk says, al kol davar, it means any kind of pesha you do, any kind of wrongdoing. La shavat aveda, lekol avedat achicha. Again, it says, lekol, right, to any avedat achicha, anything that gets lost, and therefore it's going to include anything. Leprika, what about prika? Yalev chamor chamor mi shabbat. We make a gzera shava from Shabbat. Now, we'll have to get to Shabbat when we get to Shabbat. But now we're going to say a few gzerot shavot we're going to learn from Shabbat. So the chamor of prika, we do a gzera shava to the chamor mentioned in the Shabbat psukim in the second dibrot. Lechasima yalev shor shor mi shabbat. Okay, when it comes to lo yachsom shor b'disho. So we say, the shor there, we learn from the shor of Shabbat. Lekilaim, ikilaim. So again, kilaim, there's going to be two. Ikilaim de charisha of the lo tachrosh b'shor uvechamor yachdav yalef shor shor mishabbat. Again, we're going to learn shor shor from Shabbat, the gzera shava. And ikilaim de harba'a, if we're talking about crossbreeding two animals, yalef behem techa mishabbat. So there it says, behem techa lo tabria kilaim. We're going to say the behema, we're going to learn from the behema of Shabbat. So now we have to get to Shabbat. The gabe Shabbat minala, and that is right. You learn from here, but how do you learn Shabbat? So, Gabe Shabbat Minalan. Detanya Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Bidibrot HaRishonot Ne'amar Avdecha V'Amatcha U'Vehemtecha. Ubidibrot HaAchronot Ne'amar Bishorcha V'Chamorcha V'Cho V'Hemtecha. Okay, so right, the first Dibrot, we don't really need the Eved and Amah, really it says V'Hemtecha. The second Dibrot, it says Bishorcha V'Chamorcha V'Cho V'Hemtecha. Palo Shor V'Chamor B'Chlal Cho Behema Hayu, right? So, obviously, shor v'chamor are part of behema, so why would you need to specify them? The lama yatsu, why were they specified? Lomar lacha, ma shor. By the way, this is a strange one, because it seems to imply that because it says it in the first dibrot and the second dibrot, but really the question is the second dibrot themselves. Why does it say shor v'chamor v'chol behemtecha? It doesn't make any sense even just the second dibrot by themselves. So now, but you'll see later why they want to include the first dibrot, okay? So, mashor v'chamor ha'amor kan chaya ve'of, chayotze behen, av kol chaya ve'of, chayotze behen. So now they're saying, because they want to teach you that the Shor and Chamor that are mentioned here in these Dibrot, that why did they use them? Because they wanted to make the Gzeira Shava to all the other cases where Shor and Chamor are used to say that just like here, Shor and Chamor is included in B'chol B'Amtecha, which includes everybody. So the Shor and Chamor mentioned in the Prika and all the other cases that we saw are also going to include everything. So now they say, Ema behema de dibrot harishono klal. Why don't we say, though, that the behema de dibrot harishonot is a klal? Shor chava chamochor de dibrot achronot prat. Klal u prat, em bechlal, ela mashe beprat. Shor bechamor in, midi achrin elo. Now they're saying, now usually we say klal u prat u klal is in the same psukim, right? The same section. Now they're going to suggest maybe we could say there's a klal and prat. We have the klal in the behemtecha in the earlier psukim, in the dibrot harishonot. Then we have the same situation and we have a prat, shor and chamor. So maybe you'll say...
We have another klal.
Ah, well, they're going to... First they're starting without that. Then they're going to obviously say, oh, it's a klal, prat, or klal. But first they're going to say, why don't we say it's a klal, prat? And therefore, you're right, it's strange that they wouldn't assume that right away, but I think sometimes the Gemara just likes to ask questions to get to the answers. So they're saying, why don't you say it's a klal uprat and it's only shor v'chamor? Nobody actually thinks that only a shor v'chamor is supposed to rest on Shabbat, but they're throwing it out as a possibility. So amre v'chol b'amtecha did yibrot achronot chazaru klal uprat uklal iat hadan elakena prat ma prat meforash balei chayim av kol balei chayim. Okay, so now they're going to say exactly as Ruth said, no, because it's a klal uprat uklal. And remember the difference. A klal uprat means it's only the prat. But if you have a klal uprat uklal, it's going to say, well, the prat is wider than we thought. It's anything that's like the prat. So just like the prat is balei chayim, therefore, right, it's something that lives and breathes, therefore, we're going to say any animal. But now what are we going to say? No, wait a minute. Now we're going to go back to, this is chazara on what we did in Avon Aleph. If you just have shor v'chamor, what might you learn? Right? In other words, not just ba'alei chayim, it might be just ba'alei chayim that are matame maga umasa. So ma prat meforash davar shenivlato matame b'maga umasa, av kol davar shenivlato matame b'maga umasa, v'alofot lo. You might think if you're going to use this klal uprat uklal, you're going to exclude birds. Amre im kein nechtav rachman acha prat. No, if you want to exclude birds, it would have just written shor or chamor. It wouldn't have written both shor v'chamor. So then again, they're going to say, who's to say it could have just written one? It couldn't have just written one if it wanted to include anything that's mitabe maga umasah, because you might have excluded other types of behemot then. Because hey, nichtav rachmana, which one could it have written? I katav rachmana shor hava mina karev l'gabe mizbeach in. Sheino karev l'gabe mizbeach lo. If you just had shor, you would have thought that that therefore only includes things that can be put on the mizbeach, sacrificed. Katav rachmana chamor, and therefore it needed to write chamor. Therefore, right, you would have thought only animals that are the bechor is kadosh, and not ones that aren't. Therefore, katav chamana shor. So therefore, you can't learn it from this klal upratu klal, because you could make the argument that if you make a klal upratu klal here, it's only animals that nivlato mitame b'maga umasa, and it would exclude birds. So therefore, ella, how do we learn out that it includes everybody? V'chol behem techa ribu yahu. Ah, because it says the words v'chol behem techa, just like we saw before, it said, what was it? Al kol devar pesha, it included everything. Not looking at a klal uprat uklal, just a general word. Since it says v'chol behem techa, that comes to include everything. So now they want to suggest, wait a minute, they want to question that. V'chol hecha de katav rachman al kol ribu yahu. Every time it says the word kol, it includes everything. V'hagabe maser, dichtiv kol, v'kadarshinam be, v'klal uprat. Okay, when it comes to maser, the word kol appears, and they learn out a klal uprat uklal. So why don't we do that here and exclude birds? D'tanya, where do we learn it by maser? V'natata kesef v'chol asher taven nafshecha. This is when it comes to maser sheni. You're supposed to redeem your fruits, right, on coins when you're at home. Then you bring your coins to Yerushalayim. You have to buy fruits, but you can also buy kol asher taven nafshecha. Okay, that's what it says. And then it says, babakar ubatzon ubayayin ubashechar. That's a prat, right? So first it says anything you want. Then it says, well, only certain things. And then it says, ubachol asher tishacha nafshecha. Chazar v'kalal, and therefore it's a klal uprat uklal. Iatadan elakein prat. Ma prat meforash pri mipri v'gidule karka. Av kol pri mipri v'gidule karka. So what do we learn here? that it's all things that are derived from something else. Like shechar comes from dates or from, you know, depending on how they made the beer. The wine comes from grapes. In other words, it's something that grows from something else or reproduces, like sown. Okay, so therefore it has to be something like that. What does it come to exclude? Water, salt, mushrooms, which don't grow from the ground. They're considered not growing from the ground. They're just fungus. Okay, so therefore, here you see the word kol was a klalu pratu klal. So why don't we say that here? So amre bikol klala kol ribuya. We distinguish between bikol asher tavan nafshecha that says by maaser and kol, which it says here. With all, you can use the klalu pratu klal. But kol, if it just says kol, like in our pasuk, it's to include. Or ibayt ema, or you could suggest this answer. Kol nami klalahu, you really could say kol is a klal. Miu hai kol dahacha ribuyahu. Midahava lele michtav uvehem techa. Kedidichtiv bedibrot harishono. Vechatav bechol behem techa shmamina ribuya. So now that you say, general, maybe you could say that, but what does it say here? It says bechol behem techa. And in the first dibrot, it just said uvehem techa. So therefore, since in the first dibrot, it said uvehem techa, and here we changed it slightly, right? It was changed. Therefore, we're going to say this v'chol must be to include. Okay? It must be an inclusive word. Okay. So now we'll end with this last point. Hashta da'amrat kol ribuyahu. So now that we say the kol is to include, behem techa didibrot arishono, v'shor v'chamor didibrot achrono, lamali. So then why do you need to say behem techa there, shor and chamor? Okay? What's that all for? Amre, shor la'admure, shor la'chasima. Chamor la'admore, chamor la'prika. Okay, so now we say, well, that's because, right, we said this before. You need them to make the gzera shava, to learn from this, so that this will be the example that we learn from for other things. It's interesting, by the way, how we learn also the lametet melachot from Shabbat. In other words, I guess that's not the same thing. No, that's different. That we learn it from the Mishkan. Anyway, they're saying that Shabbat is this category that we're going to now learn from, and that's why you needed it. And behem techa la'admore, behem techa la'kilayim. Right, that's why we need it for all the other ones. So ihachi afilo adam litzar. Alamatnan. Okay, you know, fine, we'll go a little bit more. Ihachi afilo adam litzar. So adam should also be asur to do, if we're going to say we learn it from Shabbat, so adam should also be asur to do kilayim, for an adam and an animal to be choresh together. Alamatnan. Why does it say adam mutar kulam lachrosh v'limshoch? But he is allowed to. So why don't we say, if we're going to learn from Shabbat, so adam is also forbidden to do malacha on Shabbat, let's learn. And what they really mean here is the eved. In other words, since the avdecha v'amatcha, maybe that's why they quoted it before. Remember I said it's not really important for our purposes? Now they're saying, if you have avdecha v'amatcha v'amtecha, so maybe you would say that an eved and a shor can't work together to plow the field. And we know he's allowed to. So Amar Papa, Papunai Yadei Tama Deha Milta. The people in Papunai know the reason for this. Umanu, and who is that? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, he's the guy who knows the answer. Amar Kra, Leman Yanuach Avdecha V'amatcha Kamocha. Lahanachai Kashti V'lo L'davar Acher. Because it says there in the Pasuk, it gives you a reason. It says, Leman Yanuach Avdecha V'amatcha. That's why they need to rest on Shabbat. Therefore, it's saying they're specifically mentioned in Shabbat for unique reasons that only relate to Shabbat. But we can't learn from here to other things like the Lo Tachrosh V'Shor V'Chamor Yechtav. Okay. More drashot tomorrow, more about these Dibrot Rishonot, Dibrot Achronot.